Blog Talk Radio.
Lovely peoples. Yay, happy Monday. This is lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Yes, yes, lunch with Ginger and the Corey.
And I'm Corey, I think.
I think I'm Ginger, maybe. I'm a little bit sleepy today, so I'm not quite for certain on that, but I'm pretty sure that's who I am.
I have a weird sleepy alertness going on. I've tried a different energy drink that's not 5-hour energy, so I'm alert, but sleepy. I don't know how to explain that to you. I could probably close my eyes for a few seconds and get right back up.
Interesting.
Do this! Okay, anyway. Ah, how was your weekend, ma'am?
My weekend was kind of crazy. At least in game-wise, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Game-wise, it was very crazy. Real life, it was kind of lazy. It wasn't too bad. You know, got some housework done, got some stuff done, played with some goats, you know, all that fun stuff.
You know what? You and those goats.
Did I tell you that we named one of them Soup?
I thought that you said you do not name the goats.
We don't usually name the goats, but yeah, the one that's going to be food?
Soup?
Yeah, Soup.
Oh, that's almost as bad as we used to have a pet iguana and I named her Brand New Shoes. Yeah.
Ooh. See, Corey gets my sense of humor.
I do. That's what the scary part is. I do indeed get her sense of humor. Oh, my God. Yeah. I am so just this is not a good energy drink. I don't think I'm going to do this one again. And I'd love to tell you what kind it is, but it's so potent that you can only drink half of it, is what they tell you. Don't drink both. Now I see why.
Wow. I don't tend to do with energy drinks too much, so.
I don't. I like 5-hour energy because it is very natural. The Red Bull, it doesn't agree with me. Red Bull, even though they say you don't crash, you do. 5-hour energy, no crashing. I don't crash. It just kind of, you know, you just kind of wind down, and then after the 5 hours over, you just kind of go back to being normal. Whereas, you know, you're superhuman when you first drink it. 3 minutes after you drink it, superhuman, and then
it's very interesting.
But no side effects, no headache, none of that business. Whereas I get that with Red Bull, I get a headache, and then I start feeling sick after it wears off. So
that does not sound good.
No, it's not fun. It's not happy. Not happy time at all. So I got to share, over the weekend, I did get a telegram, which I am trying to scan so I can share with you lovely people, something about some aliens or something, and they sent me some, you know, a picture.
Aliens?
Yes, it's a telegram. Some of you are like, what the hell is a telegram? It's how they sent emails before there was the internet. But
there was before the internet?
Yes, there was before the internet. And
gosh,
but
you know what's sad? Is there somebody out there listening right now going, wait, what, there was not an internet?
Yeah, there was not internet.
They were born with internet. They don't know.
That I think that is amazing on one hand, and on the other hand, scary, because when the zombie apocalypse comes, you people that never survive without the internet are going to be the first to go. I'm sorry to say.
Very much so.
Don't know how to use a phone booth, you're first to go. Don't know you have to put money in it, first to go.
These kids. I know, and I remember phone booths. I mean, actual booths. And I remember going down to a payphone. And now I started thinking about it. I don't think I know where there is a payphone anywhere in my town anymore.
I know where there's one or two. I think there's one or two on my street. And I actually took a picture of it to show to the little people in my family. This is a payphone. When the zombie apocalypse comes, this is where you put the money in. See right here? So that you can call for help, because most likely cell phones will not be working. So you put the money in there, and then you dial. It's going to go dee-dee, and then you dial.
Yes, yes, yes. Seriously. I mean, I think most gas stations have a payphone.
You don't want to touch them. Yeah.
No, you don't want to touch those. No.
Antibacterial.
Mm-mm.
Thank you. So that reminds me also of an interesting ad I saw this weekend. You guys, have you seen the new Toshiba laptop ad?
No, but I love me some Toshiba, so tell me about it.
We'll probably grab that on our site if they have it up on YouTube. They're announcing their new laptop, which has satellite internet access. And one of the reps says to the head of the company, you know, are we ready to release this? And then he stops for a second and he thinks about, you know, and they show his process of thinking, of course, because it's a commercial. And they show one of the guys, a guy out in the field, I guess he's an electrician or something, using a laptop. He accidentally plugs it into the wrong place. The power goes out. Then they show a guy who drinks milk that's 8 days old, and he says, looks okay to me. He drinks it. He turns into a zombie. He bites his roommate, and then there's a horde of zombies coming, and then they flash back to him. He's going, no, it's not ready.
Oh, wow.
I love that commercial. Awesome advertising, Toshiba.
Yes, I love me some zombies. So if you're going to put some zombies in my advertising, yes.
Zombies,
yes.
Always good. Always good. Okay. Time for some news.
Some news. All right. I got some of that.
I'm out of control. Do it.
All right. I'm pulling from GamePolitics.com this morning. Netflix takes aim at usage-based billing.
The new fight already begun.
Oh, yeah. And hopefully this means they're fighting on our side. Netflix said recently that it's not pleased with internet service providers looking for new ways to charge users by the amount of data they use. Of course, internet service providers claim that they have to switch from flat-rate monthly data fees to usage-based pricing models to pay for network upgrades and prevent consumer congestion. Yeah, you're not helping any with that just by charging us more. Nice try. All right, so wireline bandwidth is almost unlimited resource due to advances in internet architecture. This is coming from Netflix General Counsel David Hyman, and he wrote this in a recent Wall Street Journal editorial. Netflix has argued against usage-based billing in Canada, as have consumers, and in the U.S. It has complained to the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, that UBB could curb internet use or leave consumers with confusing bills and penalties for going over their limits. David Hyman goes on to say, with online content delivery providers like Netflix and voice servers like Skype experiencing explosive growth, competitors see consumption-based billing as a convenient way to slow that growth by making use of online services more expensive. By making the use of online services more expensive. I was reading that correctly. I just tripped over. Hyman went on to write that the cost of adding an extra gigabyte of data is about one penny for ISPs. Naturally, Netflix has vested interest in this topic because usage-based billing could curtail usage of its popular service. Given that a good portion of internet traffic is being used to stream movies over the service via various platforms, it makes sense that usage-based billing schemes by ISPs could cut into Netflix traffic. And it will, sadly to say. And we've already seen, isn't it? Microsoft is looking at adding their own cable internet, sort of, over Xbox right now. Xbox Live.
Yeah, and
so, yeah, if they start doing this, I can see it really curtailing.
Yeah, and I will be the first one to switch to Xbox Live cable service because Comcast is right now saying that they're increasing the internet speed. That's one of the things that they offered me when I told you I threatened that they were going to increase my speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked about a cap, and they said no. But that doesn't mean once my two-year contract is up, they won't try to cap my service.
Yeah.
And they are all now experiencing issues. Comcast, Xfinity, because they kept switching their service over to completely digital. And while this sounds great, it has been interfering with Xbox Live. Have me on your list. Probably noticed I kept going on and off over and over and over. It wasn't me, it's Comcast. So this is not well with gamers. If you don't get this fixed and you want to cap my speed, no, I will drop you and go over to Microsoft really quickly. Wow. All right. Well, other unhappiness for us gamers. Those of you who are waiting.
Oh, no.
Those of you waiting for Dust 514, here for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're wondering what I'm looking for, is it CC's. I'm thinking way faster than I speak. And I speak pretty damn fast, as you all know. He's upcoming.
True story.
Yes, this is their persistent first-person shooter, Dust 514, which is supposed to be the link-up with EVE Online, is going to require a cover charge from PlayStation 3 players with the funded as in-game, which if you're smart, you know how to sell your money back and then some. The usual approach is part of the developer's plan to manage the rollout of the highly anticipated title. Consequences in the console game will have an effect on PC Virtual World EVE Online and vice versa. In the beginning, you have to pre-buy credits, so you can pay something like $10 to $20 to enter the game, and you get the equivalent number of credits in-game once you do that. And they're saying they're calling it a cover charge, like a club. You know, some of you are like,
I don't know what to think about that.
The CCO, Hilmar Vegar Pertussen, and I screwed up your name, dude. I know you're in the Netherlands. I'm sorry. You probably can't say my name either, so we're equal. Says you're really getting the game for free, but you have to pre-buy credits in the beginning. We might go fully free-to-play down the line, but in the beginning, we have a cover charge just to manage the initial launch of it. He says he also added, we've always been a big believer in growing up a social network behind the game in a slow, predictable way, because we have seen that if you don't do that, you can end up with a very unstructured experience where there's no cohesion to the community. By growing it at the beginning, we help to make it a healthy environment initially. A PlayStation 3 exclusive, Dust 514 is one of the new wave of titles that Sony is using to try out various free-to-play models on its home console. The only format holder willing to experiment with a business model growing in ubiquity for online titles. In-game currency will also be spent on microtransactions. Although Pertussen wouldn't elaborate on in detail on whether these would be vanity items like those that have caused such an outrage currently in the EVE Online community, he says it's not like shooters where you've seen virtual good sales, whether that's some of the games you've seen in Asia, whether it's Battlefield or other games. We really don't have a set of things we're communicating on now because a lot of this comes from trials that we're starting at the end of this year, which we hope to be a part of, where we're starting to tune and test and see what works, and that's fine. He says we have some initial assumptions, but we'll put it out there and see how the player base or their trials reacts to it. Go ahead.
No, just you're like, listening to this. I don't know what to think about this kind of new model. This is different. They're calling it free to play, but you got to pay to get in originally.
I kind of understand. I think in the long run, in the beginning, it'll be of the crazy. And I hate to say it, some of you kids out there are not rapper tight.
Some of y'all are not.
It's the hormones. I understand. Hormones make you crazy. And those don't filter out of your system till about 25. So if you're under 25, you're probably still crazy. You just don't know it.
29 and still going on crazy.
No, you're not crazy. The hormones are all out of your system for the most part. You got other kinds of hormones in there. You're sane, but you just don't give a damn. There you go. They're saying while the game, of course, isn't due out for another year, the EVE Online community has already mobilized itself, creating a metagame to recruit top-class first-person shooter players from other online worlds to act as mercenaries for EVE corporations. This is why I love EVE Online. Love it. That is very similar when we announced EVE Online back in September 2002. Didn't know it was that old, did you? Since we already saw corporations forming. This metagame happening on forums, people creating websites and recruiting 3 years prior to EVE even launching. Since we're now seeing a similar thing happen, and it's very encouraging to see. He also highlighted that Dust 514 should offer more varied experiences than the repetitive crop of online shooters available on console. Amen. He also highlighted that Dust 514 should... I'm all reading the same thing twice. How about that? That was me that time. That wasn't even them. He says, we hear from the shooter community that people really love the idea that there is persistent action and reaction to their gameplay. A first-person shooter can have a feeling of deja vu when the same thing keeps happening over and over again. He says, and Eve, on the Eve side, we have a lot of people, a lot of positive reactions that relates to people having friends that don't necessarily enjoy Eve, but they like the idea of, like the content of Eve. So now there's an experience that they think friends will enjoy, and they're excited about that. I have heard Eve players say that finally there's something in Eve that my son will enjoy. Hot. And you can follow that story with us, of course, on industry.biz if you like. I'm kind of on the fence about this one. I do want to play 514 because I can do both. I think anybody who Eve that wants to hire me as a mercenary or a spy, I can, you know, I can pop it on both sides. I can be a double agent. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and shoot me an email. Yeah, we'll do that. I'm 10,000 credits to start with for me to spy out for you. Look, I'm all telling everybody.
Let's see this.
Of course, nobody will know it's me. I'm a good spy. See, I'm hiring myself out. People playing with what's Game of Matrix. We tend to keep two or three accounts of a kind, so we're able to hide. So, yeah. And I can hide there.
Yes, she can. I know. She's always sneaking up on me. I see you. Where'd you come from?
I do not sneak up on you. You just say that because yesterday it took you a few seconds. Pop online. She's like, Corey. I was like, what? You scared me. What? What happened?
Corey always scares me.
What the hell?
I love you, Corey.
Mm-hmm. Cutting. Coming for
she
you.
She's going to cut me. I'm going to die. It's going to be all y'all's fault, guys.
I've had too much. I got too much energy. Talk to the people for a minute. Let me calm down.
All right. Breathe in. All right. So, Chris technology to keep tweens safe in PhilKids virtual world, the Rift. All right. So, Chris thinks unique automated community management platform is to be integrated into the Rift, which is Rift.com. PhilKids pioneering a new teen virtual world. See, y'all should not throw together these fake words. Y'all make me trip over them afterwards. All right, so the Chris platform keeps kids and teens safer online by using a combination of machine learning heuristics to detect long-term concept analysis, filtering technology, and reputation analysis. Chris software operates in multi-languages and ensures the game remains COPPA compliant. The platform includes a sophisticated real-time filter designed to spot all the ways users can get around traditional filters, such as replacing letters with numbers, using spaces, and adding extra letters. Its whitelisting technology uses automated rule generation, converting a required filter into a sophisticated expression that traps a multitude of variations of the word automatically. This new approach allows for more expression than traditional whitelisting technology and does not penalize slang or spelling. The Rift is the first virtual world for tweens that enables players to make a difference in the real world by having fun in the online world. Players take part in activities and earn Rifts, a form of virtual currency. The players can then use their Rifts to help with real-world projects across the globe. The first project will be building a play park in the Dominican Republic in an area where the children have no such facilities. Tina Venema, founder and CEO of... Oh, I'm going to kill this name again. I'm sorry, y'all really should have gone with an easier name. PhilKids says at PhilKids, we want to cultivate the spirit of I cannot talk. Philanthropy in children. I give up, Corey. In children by providing real opportunities, by presenting global issues and contribution options in age-appropriate ways, children will experience for themselves that every little bit counts and hopefully be inspired inspired to a life of charitable giving. I don't know who wrote this. It's me, though. All right, so we chose Chris Community Management Platform because it is right at the very top of our list of priorities. The Chris Platform is the perfect solution because not only does it provide an unparalleled level of safety, it also understands the way children interact so it doesn't stifle their creativity by banning or silencing users unnecessarily. All right, so more or less, looks like some kind of online game kids can play. They earn points that go towards real-world stuff that helps out people, which is awesome. I tried to go over to the website, but it looks like you actually have to sign up and get a password before you can even access the website. And I'm too much, much, much too lazy for that. But, yeah, so this is kind of cool. Just if y'all could have given it, you know, not such an odd name because I know I've said it and gotten it out, but my head keeps going back to it and going, is that really the way be saying it, and then I'm not thinking about what I'm reading.
All right.
So anyway, all right.
Fun. All right.
Still in throw kids.
It is good to be us. All right. So I don't know who's calling us, but you'll have to wait till after the show. Okay. Can't be that important. All right. So other interesting.
Shut up. She's tripping over that one too bad. Make her shush.
Yeah, GLaDOS just took over your whole sentence there.
GLaDOS, I hate you, GLaDOS.
Mm-hmm. GLaDOS loves you. GLaDOS loves us all.
GLaDOS does love me. GLaDOS wants to have my babies.
Speaking of babies. That kid you got. Woof. All right.
Yeah, he's got a big old head, doesn't he?
That kid has a big head.
Yeah, he does.
I was joking yesterday. Then when I looked at the picture, I was like, that head is bigger than Ginger's body.
It is.
They're like, what are you talking about? Well, Ginger is going to be, she's working on a review. We found one of the most interesting and advanced AI little bot babies in Second Life. So he's the new thing on the horizon. I'm telling you, he's going to replace those Miru things, really.
Yes. Well, the Miros are so much, I don't want to say so much cuter because, I mean, it's an animal compared to a baby, but it is. The Miros are cute. They're adorable. And this kid could use some tweaking.
I think he'll get better. I think he's, it looks like he's first gen. Was he 1 point something I thought I saw?
He's 2.0 or something like that.
So he's a second generation. By the time he gets to 6, he's going to be awesome looking.
Yes. Yes, because I know there are other prim babies out there that look a little more realistic, but this has an AI.
His AI is absolutely awesome.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, he's a little... I kept telling him to man up today. He wasn't listening, but...
A little noisy, and there's not a volume control.
Yeah. Oh, baby, there's a volume control.
Not a volume control in sight.
Ah, yes. Welcome to our world. People are like, what the hell are these girls talking about? Okay.
Well, come in Second Life. I'll show you around.
Come in Second Life. Ah, anyway, Interact has released their, they announced plans that to report their financial results for the first quarter, the fiscal year 2012, which ended on June 30th after the market closed on Monday, August 8th, 2011. You guys are a little bit ahead of yourself. After the market closed on Monday, August 8th of this year, the company plans to hold a conference call to discuss the results, which we will probably be sitting in on. Yay, fun. But that's a very short story. I mean, very short. I don't know why they sent this to us. Why do you need to send this to us? Do we really need to tell everybody? Because they won't be able to sit in. Well, we'll sit in. We'll tell you what they did, all that good stuff. Yay.
Yes, we'll tell you all about it.
Some stuff you probably want to know and don't want to know. But in the meantime, we will share this much for you. Did we do Dead or Alive? We talk about Dead or Alive?
Not yet.
We're about to.
All right, I'll close that one out. I know which one you're going to be reading.
That's right. Well, Dead or Alive Dimensions has been reclassified over in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. The Nintendo 3DS game Dead or Alive has had its rating changed from PG to M by New Zealand's chief censor, Andrew Jack. Thank you, Andrew Jack. Jack decided to reclassify the game last month after the Waikato Times newspaper alerted his office to its content. I'm not even going to get on my soapbox this morning. He subsequently issued an order that copies must carry an M label and a note indicating it contains violence and nudity. Jack said the game had not passed through his office because the law does not require films and games already classified in the UK or Australia with an equivalent rating of G, PG, or M to be reclassified in New Zealand. The game was temporarily banned in Australia, of course, before receiving a higher rating. An M rating in New Zealand does not restrict sales to minors because it is only an advisory recording, according to Stuff, which is a website, stuff.co.nz. The controversy over the game has to do with a mode, figure mode, that allows you to view models of your characters. This mode also allows you to rotate the camera to look at the models from various angles. Users can look down skirts.
Up skirts.
Up skirts. And look at the fun boxes. And
down
money.
Shirts.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, teens can see much more scandalous views by watching MTV, but that sentiment is lost on the government censors. I don't think so. I don't think there's up skirt looking on MTV.
No, not usually.
Or a down skirt. I mean, there's some risque stuff to be true, but there's none of what's in Dead or Alive. So, yeah. y'all need to probably correct that little story. Stuff.nz. All right.
That's it.
That's all.
All right. All right. Well, I'm going to pull a story from GamePolitics.com this morning.
Yay.
Yay. Sarcastic Gamers Pink needs you for Extra Life Charity. Oh, yes. All right. So Team Jax wants you to help them raise money through Extra Life by either giving a donation or by signing up to play. If the ladies of Sarcastic Gamers Pink group can raise $10,000, they promise that they will bring their popular podcast back. The Extra Life charity allows the community to sponsor gameplay marathons to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network Hospital. You can get involved by visiting the group's Extra Life page. On October 15th, they will attempt to play video games for 24 hours straight in the hope that the community will give just $1 per hour, $24 total. As always, these donations are tax deductible and 100% of the proceeds will go to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital. So far, they have only raised $212. They have a long way to go, and only you can help them reach their goal. Awesome. So, yeah, if you've got a couple of bucks change, don't go buy that whatever it is you're going to buy today. Go chop some money in this instead. I mean, that's Children's Miracle Network Hospital. That's a good deal.
Yeah, and I know the ladies over there, I didn't know they had dropped their podcast.
Mm-mm, I didn't either.
I may have to track them down. Spent a good amount of time with them last year at PAX, or at least one of them. One of them was wearing a fake mustache.
Fake mustache?
Yeah, you'd be amazed at the things you pick up at PAX. Yeah, crazy.
Interesting. I learn something new all the time. All right, so you want me to grab another one?
No. Because I got some juice.
What you got?
Okay, I know a lot of you out there absolutely hate your HTC phones. You're talking bad about them. You're wondering, what are they doing when they build these phones? Apparently, they're busy trying to step their toe into other waters. GamesIndustry.biz is reporting this morning, smartphone manufacturer HTC has snapped up S3 Graphics, which produces graphics chipsets for Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo.
Ooh.
You see where this is heading? HTC acquired all outstanding shares for the American companies for $300 million, or that company, not those companies. It is for them. They secured 235 S graphics patents and pending applications. X, of course, has a long history of designing processor chips and technologies. That's from Dr. Ken Wang. S3 technology has been implemented in 1 billion computers, game consoles, and mobile devices worldwide. S3's chipset supports HD, Blu-ray, and 3D accelerations, and its S3 text compression algorithms are licensed to Microsoft and Nintendo. It reduces bandwidth use and increases storage and processing of texture imagery. It's also used in smartphones and tablets, so they probably also got a little bit of Apple by the bobbits. As a leading innovator, HTC is committed to continually enhancing its IP portfolio, added the HTC CEO Peter Chow. S3 graphics patents are highly complementary to HTC's existing innovations and multimedia capabilities. And I'm telling you, look for a console from these people pretty soon or something. They're up to something. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, it's coming.
You don't think they're adding it to their mobile devices? Maybe coming up with some kind of phone platform?
They might, but here's where I see the fight. I think it was okay as long as it was just S3 graphics alone providing the chipsets for Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo. But being that they're a mobile provider and they have their console, I think that Microsoft and Nintendo are probably not going to like it. Kind of puts them, it looks to me like a conflict of interest. Being that they could very well make an HTC tablet with the same chipsets that these, the consoles have and make a whole gaming tablet, which would just be awesome for us, but Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo wouldn't like it very much at all. I'll tell y'all now. That means money out of the pockets.
Yeah, that is money out of the pockets. But you know what? About time they gave us something new.
This is true. I'm watching this one, though. This is juicy. I've been right all year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have. You have been right all year.
All right.
All right. Half Brick announces that Android users can now download Age of Zombies for free through Amazon Market today only. And I'm going to be doing that in about 2 seconds. Zombies, action zombie shooter from development studio Half Brick, is now free today only all Android devices through the Amazon Market.
Dang it! I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Players will join the epic age of zombie battles as Barry Fries travels to prehistoric times to take down the unruly masses sent by the evil Professor Brains. Use a variety of weapons and pickups, including a rocket launcher, flamethrower, and shields to conquer each mission and defeat zombie ninjas, mummies, cavemen, and the legendary zombie T-Rex, and much more. Lock and load through history with the use of time portals for ultimate zombie blasting carnage. This ever-popular, addictive, and intense action game offers style and flair through humor and is now available to download free of charge. So head over to the Amazon App Store right now, Amazon.com, look up, Age of Zombies, and check it out. If you want to find more, go to GameNatrix.com. I've uploaded several screenshots and even, I want to say. So, GameNatrix.com, check out the zombies.
You know, you should mention
zombies.
You should mention to me when I am on air, because I'm just sipping. I know people are hearing all kinds of crazy noises going on up there.
No,
really? You can't hear me? I'm really drinking this. Like, I'm dying over here, so I'm surprised you can't.
That's why I keep muting myself. I'm over here munching on crackers, so.
I'm toasty. I'm very toasty.
I was hungry.
She's hungry. I'm toasty, see?
Oh, you're so cute.
I'm very toasty. All right. Well, this guy over here at Digital Chocolate, and if you're wondering.
Digital Chocolate?
Yeah, I can't believe you don't know who Digital Chocolate is. They make one of our favorite games.
I'm just more laughing about the name.
They make one of our favorite games, Zombie Lane, among other games.
Mm-hmm. I love some Zombie Lane. Oh, I got to get in there. I didn't play this weekend.
I haven't played in days. I've been on my Star Fever agency. They put some new clothes out. Anyway, I won't get into that, but there's new clothes out. That's all I'm going to say. So you know where that leads. Okay. Well, Trip Hawkins, who is one of the people over at Digital Chocolate, is endorsing the free-to-play virtual goods model. He told Games Industry that biz that any game using it, no matter what the platform, will make more money than it would otherwise. I don't know about that. He made it clear that his position on where the smart future lies in terms of monetization models. He says, I don't care what the category is, any segment of the games industry on any platform, if you make it free-to-play with virtual goods, it'll be better financially. He says, you'll get more people to try it, you'll get more revenue from more customers. Hawkins was speaking specifically about the launch for Entertainment's Infinity Blade in Asia under a free-to-play model, which represents something of a company which was arguing in March that Apple needed to reevaluate their curation policy in order to help support higher price points for high-end Apple App Store titles. Adopting the free-to-play policy driven by the virtual, which Hawkins described as the most important factor in making new business models work, doesn't have its own dangers. However, introducing the ability to buy progress and advantages is likely to upset those players who have already invested time into a gaming ecosystem. He says, I know in the MMO market, this is where it's most difficult for them to believe in. There are so many customers. The personality of many hardcore gamers is that they want to feel better about themselves because they're dominant in the game. They're willing to put in hours and hours and hours to create a level 65 character in Lord of the Rings Online, and then they get mad as heck when Lord of the Rings Online decides to go free-to-play and let people buy virtual goods. That drives them crazy, right? Yes, it does. Hawkins went on to detail the story of Brock Pierce, who is a former child actor who saw a gap in the market for WoW players, founding his own company, which allowed account trading, which Blizzard had precluded. That strategy soon made Pierce a rich man, but also incurred the wrath of Blizzard, who began destroying his inventory by deleting accounts held by the company, IGE, for violating game rules. His story is long, complex, and strewn with legal action, but Pierce changed the market, Hawkins says. Then, of course, eventually, Warcraft had to give in and say, okay, we need to do this ourselves. So eventually, that's the way it's going. Believe that allowing players to buy advantages is unlikely to drive away dedicated customers. Instead, the investment they've already made in the game will keep them engaged, potentially turning top-level spender whales, which exist at the very top of the freemium and virtual good economy. And yeah, there'll be a small number of customers kicking and screaming because it takes away an advantage they have. They can put more time in. They're still going to get time. They're still going to play the game better than anybody else, and eventually they'll put some money in. They're still better. No, I have to disagree with you there. This is one of the things that agitates me about a free-to-play model is if you have customers that enjoy being the game being free. Every item should be made available to the people who are paying and the people who are not paying. If I'm a free player and there's a certain shield or something that's going to make me super invincible, if I don't want to pay for it, what you should do is make it extremely high level. I should at some point still be able to access it even when I'm not, you know, mm-hmm. when I don't pay for it. That may actually force me to pay for it at a point because it seems unattainable. We all know that. You have something, a weapon or something in the game, you see, you really want it, but you have to wait to a certain level to get it. And if you could pay for it, at some point you get frustrated. You're like, ah, I'm going to go ahead and pay for it. But if you're saying I cannot get it, period, unless I pay for it, I'm one of those that would be like, well, fine, I don't have to have it. It's mental. It's a psychological trick. It's reverse psychology, but it works. One of the big things I disagree with in a pay-to-play model. At least let me make it available regardless of whether I'm going to pay for it or not. And I may end up, because I'll get frustrated. You know, you can have 60 or you can buy it now. And I may get to about level 15 before I say, now I'm going to buy it. I'm tired of waiting.
Yes, yes, yes. I totally agree. And I like that. On the other hand, you know, it's one of those, depending on how the item interacts with the world, I don't want a level 15, even if they paid for it, having an item that's going to make them way far twinked than a regular level 15
True.
Who didn't pay.
True, true. And that's what they do, unfortunately, with free-to-play models. You can buy this now, and it's for a level 60, and you're level 2. Just go ahead and buy it. And then, you know, that's when it pisses people off.
Mm-hmm. Totally pisses them off. Yep. Y'all going to bear with me. My voice is apparently trying to go. All right, so Combat Command, the Matrix Edition is updated.
Woo-hoo!
A few improvements to keep the strategy game combat ready. All right. Matrix Games are proud to release the comprehensive 1.01A update for their World War II strategy game, Combat Command, the Matrix Edition. The update fixes a few issues, including a problem with PBEM games, adds the bocage to the editor, and includes a new set of art from JMass, which replaces the original map art files, adds a spring tile set, and offers an additional zoom level. David Heath, director of operations at Matrix Games, says, "Easy to learn and tons of fun, Combat Command, the Matrix Edition, is a fantastic way to enjoy commanding a variety of battles throughout World War II. This update tweaks and shines a great gaming experience. Experience an engaging and intense Combat Command game system with more units, more scenarios, new art, and more. Combat Command, the Matrix Edition, is a new updated compilation of the Combat Command series, which combines the features, units, scenarios, and gameplay from both Desert Rats and Danger Ford into one fantastic system. Included in this updated release are two brand new thrilling scenarios, Moscow and Stalingrad?
Perfect.
Yeah, anyway, Stalingrad. This special edition also has support for 8 new armies, bringing the total number of armies included to 15, including support for the combatants in the Pacific Theater of World War II. Combat Command, the Matrix Edition, also supports a fine new paint job, with many graphical components of the game improved or completely redone. All the unit graphics have been redone. Fall and jungle terrain sets have been added. All old terrain sets have been redone. The interface has been tweaked and recolored and more." I'm going to lose my voice. All right, so combined rule set and scenarios from both Desert Rats and Danger Ford to bring the best from both titles. Two never-before-seen scenarios, Moscow and Stalingrad, to combine with over 40 scenarios included. Added 8 new armies to test your tactical might, more than doubling the number available in the original games. Redone and improved winter, summer, and desert terrain sets, brand new fall and jungle terrain sets, new and improved graphics for all units, recolored and improved interface for a better, more aesthetically pleasing look. As with other original Combat Command system, the engine models a wide variety of combat from amphibious and airborne operations to supply and morale effects, even night attacks, minefields, fixed defenses, and more. All right, so if you're into that kind of thing, that is Matrix Games, and you can head over to matrixgames.com to check out.
Oh, did we lose you, Ginger?
No, am I here?
You're here. Now you are.
GLaDOS, get off me. I'm already losing my voice, GLaDOS. I don't need any help.
GLaDOS, get off me.
Get off me.
She likes you because you're so... It's the baby. It's what it is.
You cannot have the baby, GLaDOS. Actually, I might have to get a hold of GLaDOS. That's been having with the baby. That'll be interesting.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Do that. do that. All right. Until the message.
Okay. How about Dust 514 sent me the press release that we read already? That one. All right.
Slow, people.
Yeah. I got to keep up. Keep up. All right. So, wait a minute. I'm trying to go through the ones that are just coming in. Yay. I love when they do this. We promise them if they get them in. Crimecraft. People out there, anybody out there playing Crimecraft? Are you playing Crimecraft, Ginger?
No, not playing Crimecraft.
Well, Crimecraft, of course, is from Bogster Entertainment, the indie innovator in video game design and content. They unleashed the latest community-driven update for its flagship MMORPG shooter, Crimecraft. The summer update unleashes a host of improvements, new features, custom content, topped by a new game mode, Assault, Capture, and Destroy. An object-based game mode with such, has two over a respawning defense core. And that is all that they gave us, people. I do have something that they're telling me to go and grab. I'm not sure what it is. I hate when they do this. Okay, and it's time for us to take a quick break anyway. So we'll probably come back on live again right after. But don't you love when they send us these and there's nothing?
Nothing on them.
And it's...
But you know what? Come back after the break. I've got some more lawsuits. And this one has to do with some Craigslist scammers.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, deserves this song. Find us, gamingatrix.com, gamergirlsradio.com, Facebook, Twitter, Second Life, Rome Rising, Drift.
We're everywhere, people. We're everywhere.
Oh, I've seen Fortress, so I gotta play this week.
Oh, Team Fortress 2, yes, I am currently, well, I'm not currently playing it, but yeah, I will be playing it in a little bit again. Headshot.
Oh, man. You be on my side, right?
Oh, yeah. That was beautiful, though. That guy came around the corner. Boom! Dead.
You know what? Why not, right?
I guess we're not looking when he came around the corner. Straight.
I don't believe it's crazy.
Oh, see, then that's why you run headfirst into a bullet.
That's what I do. I put a grenade on my own head and I dive on.
Very nice.
How I roll. I'm a cop. Seldom sinking. Break is over. We are aware we still have about maybe 1 minute. So until we shut off. But you know what you have to do after.
Download it and listen to it. Yes. And like I said, you want to come back. You want to listen.
Gingerman.
Somebody's getting their pee-pee smacked.
Who's getting their pee-pee smacked?
These two idiots. All right. So pulling this from Game Politics. It just pulled up. Looks like they pulled it from Wayne.com. Ohio AG. General files lawsuit against Craigslist game scammers. Oh, yes. That time. Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine announced on Friday that his office is taking two Craigslist scammers to task for ripping people off by promising and then not delivering video games and video game systems. The AG has filed lawsuits against two Ohio men, Nicholas Lamb and Robert White, who allegedly ran a Craigslist scam offering to sell video game systems, video games, phones, and phone cards. According to the Attorney General's lawsuit, Lamb and White offered PS3 systems, PS3 games, Boost mobile phones, and phone cards via Craigslist posts that targeted out-of-state consumers. Their posts usually indicated that they were residing in Ohio, but would often tell potential buyers that they had previously lived in the buyer's states to gain their trust. Lemon White would then request that payment be made through a wire transfer service such as Western Union or MoneyGram. Once the buyers completed the transaction, the two men did not deliver the products and would not provide refunds. The Ohio Attorney General's office claims that it currently has 29 consumer complaints against Lamb and 27 against White. The Attorney General's office believes there may be many more victims because both men made hundreds of posts on Craigslist.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to read the full complaints, or if you happen to be one of those unlucky people who got pulled into this scam, if you head over to GamePolitics.com, you can actually read the complaints. Yay! All right, so
I'm muted.
Okay.
I'm not understanding how this day and age some of you gamers are getting caught up in this. Explain to
I don't
me
know
how you don't know that this is not smart. You don't buy consoles and things off of Craigslist. You just don't. And mm-hmm. you have to even be careful about doing it on eBay. You got to be
mm-hmm.
careful.
Yes. And why do that when you can go down to your local Hastings or your local pawn shop or something like that and pick one up for pretty darn cheap?
Yeah, that's
and you can actually plug it in and make sure it works.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. You can plug it in right there, make sure it starts up, have them turn it on, and then you take it home. And the biggest thing with me is I want a warranty. I want if my Xbox breaks
mm-hmm.
that I can actually take it back. Not that I
mm-hmm.
want to. You know, not that I'm planning on it breaking, but if it does, I want to be able to take it back. It's not working. Fix it. Something. Some of you out there, I think where my leeriness comes in is all the contract work that I do. I have been on the other side of this and see there are certain things you just do not buy on eBay.
Yeah.
Maybe peripherals for your phone, like an earpiece or, you know, your charger, car charger. Those things, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't cost very much. There was a man, I think, in Scotland I did work for 5 or 6 years ago, and that's what he sold. And if they broke, he had no problem even replacing them because it didn't cost him much to get the parts. You paid $3. I think he paid 80 cents, you know, so it was no big deal if yours didn't work. But when you start getting into consoles and things like that, you can't test them.
Mm-mm.
You don't know if the person is scamming you or not, especially when they start asking for money via Western Union. That's a red flag right there. Some of you
mm-hmm.
should not have got caught up at all.
No, some of y'all are not thinking about these kind of things. And it's your own fault. Sorry.
It's all right because I already dropped it. It's your own fault. It's your fucking fault, people.
Exactly. Exactly. Y'all should know better. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. I know it's hard for some of y'all, but don't be stupid.
Oh.
I'm going to get cut. Hello, stalkers. I love y'all, stalkers. Please don't come find me.
Yes. No, you said you wanted them to find you. I got nothing to do with that. I'm minding my own beeswax. You and yourself, Ginger May.
I know. They're going to come get me.
I just found out you brought that upon yourself, your fresh new stalker. Hello, Ginger. New stalker. Go ahead, dude. Yeah.
I do have some stalkers. I do have some stalkers.
Ah, poor Ginger. They love you.
They do. They do. They do. They do. They do. They love my special brand of crazy or something.
That's what it is. You do know what it is.
That's my special brand of crazy that they all love?
Mm-hmm.
It's just something like that for certain. It's... I don't even know how to explain it. All right, so I guess it's my turn to read something.
That was just you. I got juicy.
Oh, you got juicy? What you got? What you got?
More fighting. Okay, so I'm telling you about the EA, Steam, Origin, all that on together. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So EA has officially admitted Steam list of Battlefield 3 retailers.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Valve's distribution platform Steam was not included on EA's list of digital retailers supporting Battlefield 3. The list, which did include other retailers, retail sites like Direct2Drive and Gamersgate, was first reported by Joystick, but has since been removed from the Battlefield 3 website. The omission follows an apparent breakdown in the relationship between the two companies since the launch of EA's Origin service, during which Valve pulled Crysis 2 from Steam due to EA's approach to post-release content. In a recent interview over with Industry Gamers, EA's David DeMartini expressed the company's desire to work with as many retailers as possible and claimed that EA is working diligently to resolve the situation with Valve. He says, what we're doing is no different than what we've done historically. Yes, it is, always picking a fight with regards to how they've handled ongoing patches, etc. It seems a little bit of a juxtaposition that we find ourselves in agreement with everybody on the channel. Everyone seems to find our policy acceptable with a singular exception. No, we do not find your policy acceptable here. I don't know how you got that in your head. Over at EA. Good God. I do think that there are some policies and principles that everybody should adhere to that are in the best interest of the consumer, and I hope that they come to the realization as well that they believe in choices like we do. EA was, of course, contacted for comment or further comment. They have not offered no official response in the matter. EA, every year you guys pick a fight with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And this has to be the dumbest fight that you've picked ever. Because gamers are going to speak with their dollars. At least I hope you guys do. If your service sucks because of forcing people to use their new service, why didn't you just let your service stand on its own? Why don't you go over and see what Steam did and make it 20 times better and then offer your Battlefield on the same? You can offer, you know, it can be offered on both. You can even say, we'll give you a discount if you buy it from us. But don't actually take it away from the gamers. They have no choice. But if they want, if they get the digital download from you, ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And although they're saying they're offering it to direct to drive, and gamers are willing to bet you before it's all over, they'll pull it too as well, and make it so you have to buy it on their system on Origin, which is not smart.
No, that is not smart. That's not smart at all.
Always trying to take on somebody. Always. And it's going to blow up in your face because they don't – even their EA store at current is not great. It's just not. Anybody – you simmer people out there. As a matter of fact, there's a group I normally would not endorse, but it's the only one, unfortunately, on Facebook. And it's – the guy's been around forever. He's a little mental. And, yes, I'm saying this about you on air. Be angry if you like. he's a little mental, but he runs a good group, SimWatch group. You can find that probably through seeing some things I've posted. But there's some people on there that are irritated with the EA download store. They won't buy their Sims from straight from the company who made it. They won't buy it from them because they're all in your business too much. You download stuff, and then they want to update you. And if you have this open, we don't want you to have that open, and we want you to close this. And if you download it too many times, you can't use it on this computer. And, you know, too many stipulations. So you guys, all I got to tell you is Origin better be mind-blowing. It has to be mind-blowing. That's all I got to say to you people.
Yeah, it better be something. All right. Firefox is being a complete not nice thing.
Firefox?
Yes, yes, yes. It's all locked up.
Oh, I thought you were news about it? What did they do?
No, no. Ugh. Firefox, I don't know what y'all are doing to your stuff recently, but
fix it. You want me to jump in with an album?
Yes, please. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I was going to read about Julia, but no, it's...
Oh, I saw Julia. But in the meantime, we will tell you. A new report from Display Search Research, we need y'all to change your name. That's too much in the title, indicates a bright future for connected TV manufacturers. A lot of TVs are being shipped with internet connectivity and games and stuff. According to their report, which is called the Display Search Quarter Q211 Quarterly TV Design and Features Report, which is too long for a name, more than 25% of flat panel TVs shipped by this year will feature some form of internet connectivity. I know mine has it, and I had it long before now. I think I need to test that out. Maybe I need to do that today. Okay, anyway, by 2015, the number will grow to 138 million units, around 47% of the flat panel market, with a total of 500 million units sold. North America, Western Europe, and China will be the highest consumers of connected TVs, but the report shows growth in every region except Japan, which is understandable. By 2015, growth will be driven by the Indian government's decision to switch from analog to DVB-T2 digital broadcasting. The adaptation of connected TV is not just taking place in developed regions, says Paul Gray, who is the Display Search Director of TV Electronics Research. Can you all shorten some of this? Can we get an acronym?
Yeah, please.
Emerging markets, he says, often have good broadband services, and there's a thirst from consumers to get the best content available. Of the 138 million units shipped in 2015, more than 98 million will have 802.11 wireless networking built in.
Ooh, that's very nice.
Which allow networking and with other connected devices in the home. He says Wi-Fi are the foundation of smart TVs. He says in 2015, 35% of 6-inch or larger TVs in North America are smart TVs, defined as having the following capabilities: able to retrieve content from the internet, restrictions of a portal, intelligent search and recommendations, capable by its owner, and able to network seamlessly with other devices in the home. Nobody does that. I just don't play with it. Play with it today. Now I want to play with it. The report findings will gladly be received by streaming services like, which I don't like. Regarding integration into smart TVs as a central component of their strategy. It's interesting. I want to go play with mine. Mine is not Wi-Fi, though. Mine, I think mine was the first generation when they were trying it out. And I know it has a hard drive because I got yelled at by the Samsung guy that the hard drive was fried. And
that's the guy who came out and did surgery?
Yeah, he did surgery, and he fussed at my TV was dirty. And I was like, this is an old house. That dust accumulates daily, believe it or not. It's not that I don't
dust. True story.
So I'm sorry. And he's like, I have cleaner in my truck. I'll be coming to clean it. I was like, well, clean away, dude. Save me from having to do it today. Clean it.
And when you're done, head over to Ginger's.
Here's her address. Give me her coordinates.
Yes, stalkers, don't get excited. You don't get them. All right, so I'm going to cut.
Yes.
All right, Mini Robot Wars, a fresh new tower defense released for PC. Ooh, yes.
Blast is going to like that. He likes tower defense games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pixsoft Studios is very pleased to announce the launch of Mini Robot Wars, a fresh new side view tower defense game with cartoon graphics and fast paced action. In Mini Robot Wars, the aim is to help the cute little robots defend their planet against an invading horde of machines, seeking to turn it into a space resort. The player must gather resources and build robots to act as the defensive units and fight their enemies.
The game features
simple gameplay. Yeah, I know, right? Sounds so cute. The game features simple gameplay while retaining of death with a large number of units, upgrades, and unlockables, and a variety of mini-games. Mini Robot Wars has a unique gameplay mechanic instead of the typical path system adopted by most tower defense games that use like approach common in side-scrolling shooter games. The movement is thus not defined by a path, but rather by its type. Who is this that's saying this? It's not telling me. Sound Hanwong, producer and designer of Mini Robot Wars, says, our initial ideas came from the old-school scrolling shooters like Gradius and Contra. In those games, there are enemies in the air and on the ground that can move in different ways, while the player has many weapons, such as laser and spread gun, to even the odds. How much fun would this be as a tower defense game? Mini Robot Wars is now available for PC, downloadable and at leading game portals, including Big Fish Games, Game House, and Impulse, for $9.99 USD. And some of the features are 150 levels in story mode, spanning 3 episodes, each with its own storyline and distinctive gameplay. 40 mini robots to choose from, including Bubblebot, Snowballer, and Mama Factory. Battle against 32 factory enemy types over 5 areas: grasslands, deserts, underwater, glaciers, and the Iron Fortress. 30 arcade-style mini games, including shooting, action, puzzle, and boss fight. Lots of achievements, unlockables, and upgrades. All right, so if you want to, head over to GameAndAtrix.com. I've uploaded several of the screenshots and I think even a trailer. So go over there and check that out. Okay, GameAndAtrix.com. Go, shoot, now.
Ginger, stop scaring off our peoples.
I love you.
Mwah. Yay, no she doesn't.
I totally do, I love y'all.
She loves you as long as you got cookies.
We're crackers.
See? Her love is not unconditional, people.
My love is not free.
All right. Also, that telegram I mentioned at the top of the show, up and available, along with the lovely images they sent me. You might want to check this out. I hear something about an attack on planet Earth. I don't know.
No attack on planet Earth. We kind of live here. We need this place.
No, we don't.
Okay.
We can live on the moon with the Transformers. Anyway.
I like that. The moon.
I am not a fan of the Transformers, let me just tell you.
I want to live on the dark side, though, okay?
I'm sorry, that movie was... The more I think about it, the more I don't like it. I know Harry Potter better bring it. That's all I'm going to say. J.K. Rowling, mm-hmm. I will find you. And I will horcrux you. I will horcrux you. That's like a real threat. Okay, so I better watch that. All right, people. It is time for us to say a fond adieu. We blow you kisses.
Yes, many kisses.
Mm-hmm. We will see you tomorrow. Hasta luego. Hasta mañana. Whatever that is. I don't speak
good. Mañana.
Mm-hmm. A piento.
Later, boys and girls.